Garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates, people, dead people coming back to life, people turning into weeds, for Christ's sake. I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it to you? All that horror crap?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to DWN's Terrible Horror Crap Podcast, sponsored by Faz Custom Shirts on this boygob.com and the Horrorphilia Podcast Network. Joe, there's some people getting it on behind you.
Yeah, there is.
I got hit with the Halloween spirit today.
Did you? Did you go to Spirit?
I did the other day because I needed a clown nose for a mask I'm repainting.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it.
That's good.
Got what I needed, tipped my hat, said thank you kindly.
Pretty sure they are well stocked on everything right now.
Especially, well, not clown noses since I bought one.
Right. They probably aren't as well stocked on those as they were before you walked into the store.
Hey, Joe, you like lists? We got a list. We'll get to that. How was your week?
I was all right.
Was it?
How about yours, Tom?
How could it be? Somebody took the Venture Brothers from me.
Oh, that's right. Your week started off like right after we recorded last time. You got some crushing news that
soul crushing.
I could tell really, yeah, it really fucking like sent you in a spiral, a downward spiral, they say.
Joe, you know what I always say, stand for something or fall for anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the show, I say that a lot.
And I've never, I didn't fall for this show, so yeah, it's pretty balanced.
See, I mean, after 17 years, it's to be expected.
Right.
However, not when they said you were renewed already and you were in the middle of writing the new season.
Yeah, but, you know, it's an unprecedented time.
Oh, is it?
No, not really.
People are watching stuff now more than ever.
Yeah, I guess so, but they should have hurried up and got it done with, you know. Well,
one of the creators was in a terrible accident that he's not comfortable to speak about yet.
Well, okay.
I think it was like he was whacking off to something, mm-hmm. and then something fell on him and broke his back. So he was stuck there, like on the floor, paralyzed with whatever goofy porno he was watching, still on his phone right by him, and he had to get help.
Well, you can write still when you're paralyzed. I mean,
hello!
You can,
in the hospital and stuff.
Haven't you seen that Bruce Lee movie where he's laid there in the hospital and he writes his book on Bruce Lee style of fighting and shit?
What was that called? Kill Bill?
I think it was called Double Dragon.
Oh. I played the game.
Yeah, it's a good game. Two was better, though.
But he said the worst thing happened to him, and that's how he got paralyzed. So I was just trying to think of what the worst thing could be. For you, what would be the worst thing?
The worst thing that could be, I guess, that, like, my home and business burned down on the same day.
Oh, no, like, to paralyze you.
Yeah, like, I'm, like, right in the middle, like, I'm going to work. Oh, to paralyze me. Well, that would be kind of paralyzing.
Not, like, in fear, but actual paralysis.
What would be the worst thing about being paralyzed?
No, the worst way to get paralyzed.
The worst way to get paralyzed. Fucking how many ways are there?
A lot. But all of them really have to do with, like, vertebrae breaking.
Vertebrae. Okay. I guess, like, I'm, like, walking down the street going to a store or something, and then all of a sudden there's this gay pride march that goes in front of me, and then a telephone pole just falls on me and, like, breaks my back. And it's a man injured at gay pride, you know, whatever. He was just there trying to show us, I don't know, gayness, you know. Maybe. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Wrong with what? Having poles fall on you?
I guess that kind of goes hand in hand. I don't know.
O-M-G-sus. Jesus.
So what'd you watch, Tom?
Two seasons of King of the Hill and some of the third.
All right, we'll talk
about
this up.
Last week. I got that DVDs coming in the mail.
Yeah, so as they come in, you just get excited and you run to the DVD player.
I did. I already burned through two seasons. And I watched other stuff. A lot of time in the shop this week.
It's good that you did, because I didn't watch a damn thing aside from the movies we're going to... The Creature Feature Countdown to Halloween!
Oh, it's a good thing I'm fueled with the Halloween spirit.
That's right. You went to Halloween Town?
I did. I was molested.
By a guy in a clown nose that you gave to him?
No. By the people running the store because their prices are too high.
Oh,
I felt like I was molested paying for this garbage. And I was fingered in the fitting room.
Well, that's an appropriate place for it.
What, in my ass?
Yeah.
Oh. I watched Diamond Cobra versus White Tiger. This came about because Red Letter Media did a best of the worst episode in it. About it, I should say. So I said, all right, I got some Amazon credits I got to use. Let's watch this movie. It's pretty incompetent. It might be the most incompetent movie I've ever seen. It's not really so bad. It's good. Like, oh, you got to watch this. You're gonna laugh your balls off. And you're going to watch this and have a couple. But be baffled most of the time. Because it is extremely, extremely incompetent. The lady, I think, if I remember, Deandra T. Brown, maybe, she's either very aware she's making these very terrible, terrible movies, because she's made like a few. There's like, I think, 7 on Amazon, and they all look awful. Her new project, quote unquote, is like an angels coming from heaven to save Earth faith-based TV show. Type thing with just incompetence spilled all over it. This lady is either knows she's making hot garbage or she's a complete buffoon. I'm not sure which one it is, but I'm leaning more towards the side of buffoonery. I would say watch the trailer, and you'll have a very good idea from the trailer, but there'll be no reason to fork out $5 to actually watch this. I think she had a couple that were on Prime, and then as soon as they featured her on the show, like she's, oh, I'm fucking taking that off and charging people now, which I mean is smart, so that makes me think she's not a complete fucking buffoon, but she's probably buffooning.
What's Red Letter Media?
It's a like a movie review channel on YouTube.
You watch a lot of stuff on YouTube, huh? You follow a lot of channels.
I would say I listen to a lot of stuff on YouTube. I don't actually watch it because I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd listen to it, you see.
I see.
They sound like very handsome, in-shape fellows who have their acts together.
Yeah, as most people that watch a shitload of movies are.
Speaking of which, for like the last 5 days, I've been having this rash up and down my calf. And it was like hurting in spots. My leg and fucking whole calf was like all swollen. My foot too. Slowly going down, but we're going to have another doctor's thing to talk about.
Another scare.
Not yet. We'll see. Oh my God. I have calf cancer.
You probably just got bitten by one of them bugs that flew in during the hurricane.
Don't be a fucking racist, Joe.
Could be. You never know.
No, it wasn't. And it's September, okay?
You're right. Yeah. So, Tom, I haven't finished reading it, but I got about 4 pages to go on this Dawn of the Dead novel by George Romero.
You have 4 whole pages?
Yeah, this book's really fucking dull.
Is it
I don't
the
like
movie?
Any of the characters.
Is it the movie?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And, you know, the movie, I really don't like it a whole lot. It's pretty
is
dull.
Is this like the long Italian version, but in novella form?
It's a pretty short novel.
Okay.
Most of the time, they're just like getting provisions together in the mall and, like, I don't know, looking for keys and shit. It's fucking boring. It's just, it's a big who gives a shit story. And it's like maybe 7 pages to the end and those bikers show up. There's this pie fight that's only 1 sentence long. Or half a
they
minute.
Fought with pies.
I said some of the more rambunctious bikers got into the bakery and started throwing pies. That's the extent of that scene.
At least they didn't get into the garden and start tossing salads.
Yeah. Occasionally there's a zombie that shows up, but this is not good.
They didn't have the budget.
I guess.
So only a couple.
Right. Let's just paint them blue.
Was Mr. Savini in it?
No, he's not described in it. Is his character given a name in the movie?
Yeah, I think it was the guy who blows guys. And then gets fucked in the ass by him. Parentheses, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right, and then a telephone pole falls on his back.
I was only here for the pie. Ooh. Hey, Joe. The Horrorphilia Podcast Network has been going wild over this movie, Open 24 Hours. It's a new slasher movie that isn't new because it's been sitting on a shelf for years, not getting fucking put out. That usually means it fucking sucks.
So open 24 hours. I'm guessing it's about a massage parlor?
No, it's about a gas station in the middle of nowhere that's open 24 hours.
Oh, local gas.
Spooky gas. So, a lady, it's really a girl. She looks like she's 20, but she's supposed to play like somebody who, I think it was her boyfriend, was a serial killer, and he made her watch. He made her watch when he killed people. So she set the house on fire to get away and try and kill him. And then she got arrested. And she gets out of jail. And
it's not legal to set houses on fire. Of course you don't. Arson, man.
So she goes to jail how for however long. And then comes out looking like a fresh-faced 20-year-old.
We'll say 4 years.
Okay. 4 years. So when she was 16.
Actually, she got a 10-year sentence, but she got off in 4.
For good behavior?
Yeah, because shit's crowded, you know.
Ah, coronavirus.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, I understand.
Very topical movie.
So her probation officer says, hey, go see old Fat Jim at Deer Gas. He'll get you a job. And old Fat Jim's just like, all right, can you work tonight? She says, yeah, sure. And she doesn't drive because she just got out of the prison system.
She so also can't sell alcohol.
Oh, shit. And that is another reason this movie, you haven't even seen the movie and you can tell how shitty it is already. So her friend drives her, and then her friend takes her back, and, you know, she's having hallucinations because she's also, like, a schizophrenic. So she probably shouldn't be out in the world just getting a job, interacting with people right away if she has to pop a pill, like, every two scenes because she thinks she's hallucinating. So somehow
her hands shaking when she's like putting the
a little bit her yeah palm. She's nervous,
yeah.
So not only does her ex-boyfriend find her, he breaks out of jail and finds her at this gas station that she just started working at and got the job today, but the mother of one of the victims also finds her at this gas station, and they both try and kill her, and no, it doesn't work. And
one of her victims, meaning the property owner of the house she burned down.
Yes.
Okay.
One of the victims' mothers of the boyfriends. One of the boyfriend's victims' mothers.
Serial killers.
Yeah, tracks her down at this new job. That her and her friend's the only one that they know got it. And at this magical 24-hour gas station, a six-pack and a pack of cigarettes cost $9.75.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's even if you were getting like Bush in fucking, I don't know, Virginia Slims or whatever. The fucking low. American
Pride.
There you go. Even then, I don't think it would be fucking. So that sucks. And let's see. It seems like a torture porn type movie because nothing really happens until like an hour in. Till she's like, oh, you killed my daughter, but not really, you watch. She tries stabbing her with a knife. And then the boyfriend comes and he's tied some people up in the back room, just hits them in the head with hammers and suffocates them with a bag. It's just like, it feels like this should have came out in like 2002, 2006, when all those like mean-spirited torture porn type movies were coming out.
Did they just show him swinging the hammer, like, and the people he's hitting are out of, off camera?
They show it a couple times, but it's more like realistic where it's just like a hammer hitting like a foam head or whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have like any big payoff where like the fucking head would explode and you'd be like, oh, that's crazy. Like the whole point, you'd watch a slasher movie to have fun with, you know?
Yeah.
Like some interesting kills. Otherwise, what's the point? oh, maybe the killer at least looks cool. Nah, he sucks. He looks like the fisherman with like half his face burnt, and it's like perfectly symmetrical down the middle. Half of his face is burnt. It's not good. But I made a list of stuff that sucks, so I'm gonna read the list. Oh, it should be said, I paid for this. I paid $10 because the great leader of the Horror Failure Podcast Network was saying it was the best slasher movie to come out in years. So I said, fuck it, $10? I'll fuck it. It's there. Six pack, we got that. Bitch probably still needs to be institutionalized. Yep. Why are people treating her like she wasn't a victim? Oh, because the backstory's kind of stupid. Yep. How did people find her? Yep. Torture porn? Yep. The movie's smarter than it thinks it is. Oh, yeah. Shitty tacked on ending. So at the end, she kills the fucking guy, and she walks out into the daylight, and it should have just ended with her walking out and the doors closing behind her. But no! You go to however long later, and she's like working at a haircuttery now. Some folks call it a barbershop. I call it a haircuttery. Anyway, she's sweeping up the floor and looks in the mirror and bah! He's there, the end. Could have done without that fucking garbage. Redheaded dude from Freddy vs. Jason was in it. He was. Lead character was probably too young. Yep. Mm-hmm. This movie fucking sucked. There was a lot of things wrong with it and nothing really good or fuck you open. And I tried to sell it. I looked on eBay and it's like going for nothing. It's not even worth putting it the fuck up there. So now I'm sitting here with this piece of shit fucking movie.
You gotta wait for convention to start and wait for somebody drunk to come up. Hey, I heard of this. Yeah.
Oh, sale. I heard Jason say it was awesome.
He sure did.
So what else do I have? I watch Ginger Snaps. Have you heard of it?
Will we get to that or no?
I don't know. It's got rubbery werewolf tits in it.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I mean, I guess I saw it when it was all the rage, when everybody was like asking, hey, have you seen Ginger Snaps? You know? But nobody's asked me that in a long time.
Oh. Well, I watched it again yesterday.
Oh, yeah? Did you follow it up with Ginger Snaps Back or something like that?
You know, that would have been the smart fucking name. But no, it's Ginger Snaps Unleashed. And yes, I did, but I didn't finish it because it wasn't very good.
What about Ginger Snaps Lost in Time?
No, because that's just fucking silly now. When it's the same characters, but it's old-timey days and fuck period pieces. I'm good. That was big news. Oh, they're filming Ginger Snap sequels back to back. It's going to be awesome. But the first one, a little too much dog killing in it for my like. My like? Nice. It looks like it was probably made for the Hallmark Channel. It just looks kind of fucking weird. And I think if you're a femalian, you might enjoy it a little more than malians.
Femalian.
But I still liked it. I still thought it was good. It holds up except for the werewolf in the final transformation. It looks like a sculpted werewolf. So, I mean, that's really not good. I know a lot of people, oh, the effects and everything hold up. That rubbery sculpted werewolf, it's not the best. It's fine, but there's a couple shots where they get really close up on the face, and you just see, like, wrinkles that are like, it just looks carved into some clay.
I'll rewatch it at some point. I'm going through all these movies to decide whether I want to keep or get rid of them.
Ginger Snap's worth keeping. Ginger Snap's Uncut or Unleashed, not so much.
Yeah, a teenage caveman didn't make the cut.
Fuck no, I wouldn't. Yeah, for the most part, this was pretty good. But there's one scene where the chick from Freddy vs. Jason, that fucking wolf bitch, and both of these goofy hoes, that's what I liked about the movie. Like, it starts out and you could believe, like, these bitches are just goofy in the Brotherhood of the Wolf.
But there's, what, supposed to be sisters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Different dads, I guess?
No, they're the same. But, yeah, she's, like, half turned into a werewolf, and she's supposed to be, like, sexy wolf girl walking through the party. And then she goes and tries to fucking fuck this one dude. He's like, oh, no, get off me. We can't do this. It's just like, dude, she has, like, 8 nipples and a weird fucking wolf nose and shit. You know what's going on, and you're still willing to get blown. All right. So that was weird.
Kids but, these days.
I know. Fucking Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm. So that was odd, but all in all, it has a weird feel, but I still like it. It's probably not as good as it could have been, but, hey, I wrote a joke for this. I gotta get it. It was in my notes. It's a good one.
Oh, fuck.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
This might be a werewolf movie, but the writer looks like Nosferatu.
Who's that, dude?
That's the writer. Orlok. See, I'd recommend that one. Hey, Joe, did you watch anything?
No.
Yes, you did.
I did.
Hey, what was it?
I watched Spider-Man, number 32.
No. There was a movie.
Oh, yes, I did. I did watch a movie. A creature feature countdown to Halloween. September countdown to Halloween. This time out, we watched The Day the World Ended.
What did you think?
Starring Nastasia Kinski.
Bless you.
And Randy Quaid.
Dennis Quaid's brother.
Very tame Randy Quaid in this film.
Surprisingly.
This is about a young sex therapist. Middle-aged sex therapist that goes to work at a school in a small town. And she brings her anatomically correct dolls with her. Turns out there's a lot of bullying going on in this town, especially on a particular kid that looks like the type that would be bullied, so good casting on their part. But he's got some kind of weird psychic powers, too. He can make kids that are bullying him, he can make their nose bleed. Why he doesn't do this all the fucking time to people that are making his nose bleed, I don't know. But the town folk act a mighty strange toward this lady. And I don't know, this kid thinks maybe his dad was a alien, you know, and his mom's like dead or something.
No, she's dead.
A lot of mystery going on in this plot line. But he reads Alien Worlds, which was a good comic from Pacific Comics, I think. In late 80s? Yeah, I think so. Good comic was anthology. It's not like he was talking about this continuing narrative that's not that comic at all. And at some point she also shows him a picture of some alien abduction artwork. And I think that was done by Charles Burns, really good comic artist and writer. But that was the high point for me of this movie, seeing these two comics, because this movie's not very good. Yeah, his dad's an alien. His dad comes back and starts killing all the people that killed his mom, because this alien fucked his mom. Or did it? Is this alien just a piece of this kid's imagination and he's making it come to life? Yes. I don't know, because I wasn't really paying attention by that point. Didn't really give a shit. The alien looks kind of stupid, and the figure looks pretty good. It looks like the stupid alien, you know. So they did a good job on the shitty looking figure. There it is. No, I didn't like it, Tom. I didn't like it.
So I thought this one wasn't bad for the series of movies that we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely getting better.
It was boring. That was the thing. I mean, it was slow, and it's like they could have told this whole story in 30 minutes. You know?
But they were making a movie, so they could.
They had to stretch out.
So the what it comes down to is, a kid has psychic powers, and he can manifest things with his mind, and that's what happens. He manifests this alien that he sees from a monster movie he was watching on TV to go around and kill all the people who killed his mom. Because did he
kill his mom again? I was lost on that shit, too. Not paying attention.
Because the kid was doing shit, the crazy psychic shit, and they thought it was the mom. So they were just scared town folks, you see.
Yeah, right. Okay. But they decided keeping the kid who was witness to the murder would be a good idea.
Because, you know, you could raise him.
Yeah.
He won't remember. What's a memory? Look how easy the arm comes off of this figure.
Maybe you just need to try that. Or did it just fall off at one point?
Yep.
Okay.
Just fell off at one point. So you can't see it. Maybe this will be put up on YouTube. I doubt it. That page or channel died. But it doesn't have a whole lot of articulation in it. They definitely went for the statue, like the aesthetic look of a figure, opposed to something you'd play with. This came with like a wood base that looked like he was in the forest, just hanging around on something.
It looks like a cross between Cthulhu and the chick that's in that band from the Muppet Show.
That old hippie bitch.
Yeah.
But it's a nice figure for just looking at it. The paint on it's nice. The sculpture's fine. You could definitely tell they were trying to get in on that McFarlane money. And, they didn't really say much more. All these DVDs or whatever that came with these figures that I'm watching on YouTube, it's pretty much just the same thing recycled, but said in different ways, like it pertains to that particular one, but it really doesn't. Hey, we had to make the figures before we made the creatures for the monsters because of production. Hey, we got the same people who worked on the movies, sculpting and making these figures, so they're better. I mean, they're okay if you like these movies enough to buy the figures. I'm sure you'd think they'd be pretty awesome, but you know, it's hard to sustain a toy line when only 7 people are going to buy them.
Yeah, the thing
they probably should have tried making mummy masks.
Right. Or at least, you know, if they made a mummy movie, you have people, maybe a few, that might buy it because, oh, that's like a variation on a character that I know or whatever. But these, like, hey, let's just make this fucking new movie that's going straight to cable. That nobody's probably going to watch.
And yeah, it's like the equivalent of a Sci-Fi Channel movie having a figure.
Right, and thinking
like, oh, Platypus Apocalypse, come get the figure.
That it's going to sell? It's like, all right. Yeah, like The Man with Two Brains, the comic book. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I think old Stan was just betting on his name.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he wanted to make some figures, and he thought his name could do it. I mean, they look okay, but these movies aren't worth having figures for. But I will say, for me, this wasn't a fucking trudge through the mud to get through. It was okay. It was pretty fucking boring at spots, but Randy Quaid wasn't bad in it. The little kid wasn't punchable the whole way through. But it was okay. I wouldn't say watch it, but so far it's just been the best one. Not saying much.
That's not saying much at all, no.
Which one are we doing next, Joe?
Well, we got two left, right? Or is it just one left?
Two.
Okay, we've got two.
We got two. We got She-Creature and Bootleg Spider-Man.
Let's do She-Creature.
Ooh, closing out with a bang, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dan Aykroyd is J. Jonah Jerkland. He's going to close it out. I can't wait.
Right.
Hey, speaking of Jerkland, you like Spider-Mans?
Sometimes. Sometimes I do.
Well, the last few I've been saying, fuck Steve Ditko. If he doesn't care, I don't care. I think he gave a little bit of a fuck in this one.
Yeah, this is definitely better. And I had complained quite a bit that Spider-Man's was just like, you know, we'd get some action from him in like three pages. This story makes up for that. Spider-Man's goes on a rampage and starts fucking kicking anybody's ass he runs into. He fucks up furniture in his own home. Aunt May ain't gonna like that if she gets out of the hospital. So yeah, this is a direct continuation. In the last episode, Aunt May like fell out. Episode issue, she fell out and was rushed to the hospital. And fuck, we don't know what's wrong with her beat. We also have this whole sub with Betty Brant, you know, getting married to Ned Leeds, and like, hey, we can't be together because she's afraid of Spider-Man's. So
this bitch is still fucking around. Just leave.
Yeah,
leave,
but he's the asshole.
Off.
He's
married the asshole. And leave.
Like suddenly he's in love with her now that he can't have her. That's typical. You fucking asshole. Yeah, he starts a fight with Ned Leeds. He's just fucking punching everybody in this shit. You know, tries to sell some pictures to J. Jonah Jerkland. They are shitty pictures, so he doesn't buy them. And so, like, Pete needs this money because he calls in some help. Because she's got some kind of radiation poisoning. Probably from the time he gave her that blood transfusion, as we all know. That's how Spider-Man's got his powers, through radiation spider or whatever. And this blood transfusion didn't turn her into Spider-Bat or fucking Spider-Old Lady or whatever, the way it did She-Hulk, you know, when Bruce Banner gave her a transfusion. But, yeah, so he needs to call in his old buddy, the Lizard. So the Lizard can do some radiation treatment on her, but he needs ISO 32.
Oh, you're in New York now? That's convenient. Yeah.
He needs ISO 32, which is a new radiation thing that's on the market. But that's stolen by the Masturbator. And
like, no, come on.
This is the guy with his underwater headquarters. The Master Planner. Who is revealed to be Dr. Octopus. Spider-Man
spoiled that like 2 weeks ago.
Fights his way to him and kind of beats him, kind of doesn't. Because as the fight ensues, like a bunch of machinery and shit falls on top of Spider-Man's. And he's just trapped there. And we're left with yet another conclusion. So far, this has been the longest Spider-Man
story. We're not left with a conclusion.
With the cliffhanger.
It's open. Yes.
Left with a cliffhanger. No conclusion as of yet. You have to wait until next month. Drop down another 12 cents. And we'll see. We'll see if Spider-Man gets out of this one. I don't fucking know. I don't think he will. I think 33 is going to be the final issue. He's going to die. Aunt May's going to die. But Betty Brant's going to marry Ned Leeds, so we're going to have sort of a happy ending.
33 is that classic issue where he's pushing all the stuff out and he's under the water. I look back at that cover. It's not that good.
Oh, it's not the one where he's holding the mountain and all the other superheroes are there?
No. This is the one where he's trapped in the water and he's pushing the stuff up off of him. It's the only iconic Steve Ditko cover.
The holding the rocks up and it's all Spider-Man's.
No, it's not. Okay. That was a Hulk cover.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, what is this, 33? Or it's, I guess, yeah, next one's 33. So 33 issues, and he finally has an iconic cover. But yeah. John Romita comes in, his first issue, and oh, it's automatically his first one's an iconic cover. One where Green Goblin's flying through the sky and Peter Parker's all tied up. Classic. Can't wait till we get to that Romita Jr.
We're almost there.
It's going to be a while. Oh, let's do lists.
So, Tom wanted our top 10 Canadian films this time out. And
you hung over?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not. I'm fortunate. So on my honorable mentions of Canada. Canada. Oh, Canada, as the song goes. I've got Strange Brew with the McKenzie brothers, Bob and Doug, and their adventures in trying to return a beer that has a mouse in it so they can get free beer. After that, I have Goon, the recent hockey movie with that one guy, and it's about hockey, and it's also like a romance at the same time, so it pulls at the heartstrings. Then I got Meatballs.
His name is Stifler.
Stifler, there you go. Meatballs, the movie about competition and running and eating hot dogs. Made Bill Murray. Then I have the movie Pin about the, I don't know, doll that's not a doll.
It's a recent review you did.
Right. It's a good movie. It's honorable. Honorable mention. Then I have Wolf Cop because it's Canadian and it's about a cop that turns into a werewolf.
You just needed an extra honorable mention.
I need a lot of extra shits on this one. The Wolf Cop.
All right, my honorable mentions are The Peanut Butter Solution, only because we all watched it and laughed. It's not a good movie, but we had a good time watching it. And then I had, which will probably be your number one, only because it's your movie, but Wrestling with Shadows, the Bret Hart documentary.
We'll get to that.
And then I have Countdown to Liquor Day, because I needed another honorable mention. Then I had Kids in the Hall, Brain Candy, because I like the show. And then I had the one and only Billy Owens, The Magical Adventures of Billy Owens.
That's that bald kid.
No, he had hair.
Oh, yeah.
That peanut butter solution, that was the bald kid.
That's the bald kid. Either that or Friday the 13th, whatever, 4, 5, whenever.
Hey, he killed Jason. You should blow him.
He did.
Number 10.
Food of the Gods 2. This is a movie with giant toddlers and dogs dressed up to be giant rats. Fucking great.
Well, my number 10 is the first movie Severin ever put out to the world for distribution, and that is Deranged. Number 9.
Left Behind, the movie. The first in a trilogy that I wish they would have made the complete run, this whole fucking Left Behind. I think there's like, shit, maybe 12 books. There's at least 7, but yeah, these get better as they go.
I have Fido, the movie about domesticating zombies.
Almost my honorable mention, because I needed another movie.
Number 8.
Hitman Heart, Wrestling with Shadows. This is the film that showed us, man, it's not all smiles and good times in the world of wrestling. Opened our eyes to a lot of stuff.
My number 8 is Nah, Food of the Gods, Part 2. You got dogs dressed as mice and giant toddlers.
That's a good one.
Number 7.
Here's where it becomes the David Cronenberg list. I've got Existenz. The movie about virtual reality video gaming. Good shit. Good movie.
I liked it better when it was called How to Make a Monster.
I didn't.
Well, my number 7 is the Canadian cult classic Jack Brooks Monster Slayer.
Ugh.
About a plumber who goes and slays monsters.
Fuck, did that one suck.
Number 6.
This is David Cronenberg Jr.'s feature debut, Antiviral, about people that like to get celebrity illness germs and get the same sickness they had because they get off on that shit.
Oh, I heard about that. That's recent?
I'd say within the past 8-9 years.
Yeah, they go to, like, some business that does it, right?
Yeah, a business.
Yeah. It's, like, all white. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of white with, like, white lights and shit.
Hey, this is a Canadian.
Should I check it out?
There's very little other than white in any of these films.
Should I check it out or no?
I don't think it's a movie for
okay.
you.
Okay, I'm hard pass. All right. What are we on? 6?
6.
The Fly, starring the Grandmaster Jeff Goldblum. You haven't seen that one yet. Thor 3. You'll get to it. He's in there.
Thor 3. Fuck, I can't wait.
Yep.
Yeah.
Planet Hulk storyline.
Gotta see Spider-Man's first.
Yep, you'll get there. You'll get a little package in the mail when I get those stickers in.
Oh, my
number 5.
Videodrome. Again, David Cronenberg. This movie's been on a lot of my lists. I dig this one a lot. But it only made it to halfway to the top of the list. That's confusing.
My number 5 is The Wrong Guy, starring the Kids in the Hall, Dave Foley. This movie's about the wrong guy.
He's not who they think he is.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Number four.
Scanners. It's about people that can look at you and make your head blow up.
Mm. And what a one good head explosion it is.
And I think it's the first David Cronenberg movie I saw. I like it.
Changed your life.
It did. I was like, wow, they do things in Canada, like make movies on occasion. Hmm.
Well, my number four is your number two, and that's Corner Gas, the movie.
No, it's not.
Number three.
The Red Violin. Made my list a couple of times. It tracks the history of this violin and the people that own it and the trials and tribulations of those people. Mm. I don't know what it has to do with Canada. Maybe it was financed by Canadian money, but it's on a list I found. I think maybe the auction that's going on for the violin throughout the movie. Maybe that's in Ontario or something. Samuel Jackson is in this. Samuel L. Jackson.
L. Jackson.
This movie makes the list, and it has the distinction of being one of these few Canadian movies with a person of color.
Number three?
Yes.
Ginger Snaps, the movie about periods and such.
Mm-hmm. Werewolf periods. Werewolf.
Number two.
Cube.
Mm.
Also has made my list several times. It's about some people stuck in a cube, and they got to cube their way out of there. Good movie.
My number two. South Park, bigger, longer, and uncut. Blame Canada.
Mm-hmm. It's a plot point.
Thank you.
My number one is David Cronenberg's masterpiece, Shivers. Not about
just
my dog.
Released on Blu-ray.
That passed away. But, yeah, this is just a bizarro flick, man. It's, I don't know, some kind of virus or some shit bites people and they get into sexual frenzies. Crazy shit, man.
Of course, this is your number one, then.
Number one. If there was a number one, and that's not 11, but better than one, it would make it to that distinction.
Hmm. Well, if we were making a list of our top five bad movies, or top 10, let's just say if we were making a list of our top 10 bad movies, I'd be surprised if this one wouldn't be on it. And that is the John Michael Thor classic, Rock and Roll Nightmare. Because if there's one thing that, well, I don't know if we do it, but I live to rock. You know this music? Never gonna stop. I live to rock. What's next week's list?
Next week's show happens to fall on Stephen King's birthday.
Oh, no.
So we'll be doing our top 10 things Stephen King related. Doesn't have to be a movie. You can put, or a cartoon. Or, I don't know, whatever.
No, I don't. I don't think that's going to work, but.
That's our list.
We do Stephen King-related movies, not necessarily movies adapted from his books, but say maybe he was an actor in it. Maybe
yeah,
he just wrote part of the movie. But let's just stick to movies.
All right, Tom.
Let's just make this a little more lasered in. I mean, it's going to suck either way. But let's just kind of, maybe we can find some silly shit. Stevie King. I don't even know if I'm going to have any honorable mentions next week, Joe.
Oh, you will. Go ahead and rewatch Lawnmower Man 2.
I'm good. I remember Lawnmower Man 1. I watched that recently, and I have no time for a sequel or any more Jeff Fahey movies. Fucking Trey Parker-looking-ass motherfucker. Well, I can't wait, Joe. You know, this episode wasn't great, but we had some good ones. The last few were pretty good.
We were due for this.
So that means, I mean, next week will be a little better. But sorry for all those audio issues and the missing pieces here. I don't know what was going on with the recording, but yeah, it's a little shorter than it normally is. But it's okay. We'll be back.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
But at least Tom started it out with that song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
No, we have an intro now.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But I'll write it down and we'll go out with September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Because it is September.
You got any 9/11 memories, Joe?
No, I was working.
The streets?
I was working at a school for juvenile offenders. We had one kid whose mom came and picked him up.
And everyone called him a pussy the rest of the year.
Well, another dude turned to him and said, "Hey, where you going, dog?" "I'm going home. My mom's come to get me. We're going to war. We're going to war."
Did we?
Yes, he was right.
Boy, God.